morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how you doing?
Busy.
I know you're making all the preps for your Green Bay. So absolutely, we heard a little bit about that off the air. It's the big one.
It could go really good or really bad.
we will see how the radio show is next week for sure.
Even if Green Bay wins, I'll be a nice guy to you guys.
Yes,
I will not promise to be nice to certain other people.
We do have to look at that hat when we're in here recording the show quite often.
Well, I've got three different ones. I'm just wearing this one today.
Very nice. Maybe not.
It's a coincidence.
Okay. We have in the studio with us our in-house lending expert, Mr. Tom Coyne. Tom, how are you?
I'm fantastic. You know, another week, and the market is still definitely buzzing. We're keeping busy, so excited to be helping people get into their homes.
Absolutely. Well, we always like to do our local real estate story along with the national one. On the local side, this is your last weekend to get into the Parade of Homes. So right now going on today and tomorrow, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., there are some fantastic homes out there on the parade. We've seen a couple of them toured around, and there are a lot of great, great things for people to take a look at. Some new designs. You've got some multi-generational living type homes that are out there. You've got some amazing landscaping and pools. So get out there. If you haven't, grab your ticket, and you can get those at Circle K locations for $10 still. And that's 17 homes to go look at. We had Jeff Losey on last week talking about that. And so very, very good time to take a look at those. It is, like I said, for $10, great entertainment, and I know we have had a blast looking at those houses. If you see anything out there you're interested in, have questions about, potentially want to make an offer on one of those, feel free to go to our website, kenmoreteam.com. Let us know. We would love to take a look at that for you.
And don't forget the booties.
Yes, you have to wear the booties this year in all of the homes. They are out there checking on that. As Mr. Losey so eloquently pointed out last week on the show. For our national story, always kind of interesting to look at what happens out there. And this was an interesting one that kind of grabbed my attention. And that was 9-time Grammy-winning singer-songwriter Norah Jones had snapped up a historic-type home, $6.25 million. It was a vintage carriage house and a former fire station in Brooklyn's Cobble Hill neighborhood.
That's kind of an odd combination.
Yeah, it was a little bit interesting. Now, what was even more interesting about it is she got a quick lesson in dealing with a historic board of preservationists. She had a windowless wall that she had put in an application to make some changes to. And then it looks like at some point in the process, they had secretly amended that application to add 10 new windows to that previously windowless wall, drastically changing the makeup of that side of the home. That did not sit too well with the preservation board. So they went ahead and changed that back to the original application. And so dealing with homes like that in a historic district and getting those approvals made, it's quite a process, and you really have to kind of pay attention to what's going on there.
So we have homeowners association here in town, but I don't know of any historical committees that you have to go through, do you?
Yeah, the closest thing I can think of, and it's not so much a committee based, is a couple years ago we had the gentleman that had restored the Moore Mansion on the show. And in fact, we should probably get a hold of him and have him back on the show, because it's really an interesting process to look at what that takes to go back to that original condition. But you're right, very similar to homeowners associations. We have associations here in town, which your fence has to be a particular color. If you want to make any changes to the outside of your home, those colors have to be approved. Roof lines, any sort of additional landscaping. So it can get pretty restrictive, and that's one of the things you want to keep an eye on when you're out there in that process. So Tom and I are always talking about what's going on in the local market. What can we bring to the show as a topic that people need to know about? And as I was going through things this week and I looked back, we had three or four different situations with our agents and our buyers over the last 2 weeks where the buyers either missed out on a home because they weren't quite prepared properly, or they weren't ready to make an offer. And when they looked back on that, they said, gosh, I wish I would have listened to what you told me we should be looking at, we should be looking out for. So one of the things I wanted to kind of revisit and go over are a couple tips to help people get ready to buy, because a lot of times you don't know what you don't know. So until you're in that process, unless you have an advisor and somebody helping you through that, it's hard to know what you're going to come across. And that's what our job is as those advisors, is to help you when you have those questions. So the number one thing that I wrote down as we started in this process is, why are you looking to buy in the first place? And so we go to that motivation. Is it because you have ran out of space? Is it because you're an investor and you're looking for a better place to park your money? Is it because you don't like the school district that you're in anymore and you want to change to a different school district for whatever the reason may be? And so, or are you trying to move closer to family? So we have that motivation issue. If we're going to go into this process, because it is a process, and I mean, a lot of times it's one of the largest financial transactions that you're going to make, so not something that we should really take lightly. And so as you go into that process, why am I looking? And that will help us throughout the entire process. Okay, now that we've decided, here's why we're doing it. And we'll need to remember that when we get to some of the requirements and criteria later in the process. The second thing that we come across at that point is, as soon as you've made that decision, you know why you're going to buy, you're going to make that decision to buy, and then it comes down to, how am I going to purchase that home? What is my dollar value that I'm going to go after? Is there financing involved? And many, many times we have financing involved. So the very next question becomes, what can I get and what should I be looking at as far as loan programs? And so whenever we talk about this process and come into the show, it seems like the first half of the show I end up just turning over to Tom Coyne, because what happens is we've decided to buy. Now we need to know if we have the cash, great, we're ready to go and we can move on to steps 3 and 4. But if we don't have the cash to buy, we need to get with Tom and say, okay, what am I going to use for financing? How much am I going to put down, et cetera, et cetera? And I'm going to let Tom speak to how that process goes from the lending side, because it is so important. There was many times this week where we looked at offers that did not have pre-approval letters. They had not talked to somebody like Tom. And those are some of the folks that, for our sellers, we went with an offer that was pre-approved. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to let Tom talk a little bit about that process and what he is discussing with those folks.
Well, Lance, it's a good topic. And I think this is great that we go over this as often as we do, because we work with so many buyers and I get the same questions all the time. Okay, so what's the process? What's next? What do I need need to do for my loan? What can I expect? And so we try to outline exactly what we go through in a loan process so people know what to expect and they get prepared for it. Now, there's so many different moving parts in a transaction. I don't know the exact number, but there are a number of different tradesmen that are in a loan.
52. Well, that's what we've generally used. I mean, we've laid it all out with all the different steps and touches and people involved, and we're always in that range, like 48 to 52.
Right, and so as a lender, I kind of look at it like it's my job to get us from the start of the loan to the end of the loan, and I got to bring all those different people together and bring them together in the right amount of time so that we can close the loan and meet the contract date. So with all these different moving parts, it's really important for us to stay organized and follow the systems that we put in place to remain efficient. So the first step that someone does, like Lance was just touching on, is they come in and get pre-approved. We all have a client that will call and say, hey, I just found a house and I want to write an offer, but I need a pre-approval letter. And if it's Friday at 5 o'clock, it's going to be hard for you to get me your tax returns, your pay stubs, and everything before I head home for the day. So doing this ahead of time, like Lance suggested, as soon as you know you want to buy a house, is going to get you in a situation where you have that pre-approval letter in hand and you can shop with confidence so that when the house comes along, you can go write an offer. Now, once you find a home and you write an offer, you go under contract, then we're going to get back together and we could talk about locking in an interest rate. An interest rate is tied to a specific property. So until we have that property identified, we're not able to lock that rate. Rates haven't been fluctuating too much lately. They've actually gone down. They are expected to increase, but we'll see what happens there. But at the time that we're ready to lock your rate, I'll review your loan application and what we rounded up from you to get you pre-approved. And if there's anything else that we're needing to get your file started in processing, I'll have you bring it back at that time. And that's where you sign your initial disclosures. Now, at the time of signing your disclosures, that's when we're starting your loan. I hand the file over to my processing team. They're going to order your title, your appraisal, escrow, any verification of employments, maybe any loan-specific documentation that we have to get for maybe FHA, VA, USDA. And we basically start the process. Once it leaves the gal in my office who handles all the order outs, it goes to the processor. And the processor's job is to round up all the documentation, review what I've given them, review these other verifications that are by then coming in, and get the file ready to go to underwriting. Lance, when we go to underwriting, our goal is we come out of underwriting with no conditions. That's what we want on every file. So sometimes the underwriter will review it and say, you know what? We have a complete file. It's ready to close. Other times they'll come back and say, okay, we have a proof file, but we need this, this, and this before we close. So once we've rounded up all the conditions that the underwriter wants, at that point, we're ready to draw the documents. Those loan documents are sent to the escrow company, and then the client can go in and sign. Once they sign, the documents are then sent back to us. We review them before funding. Once we review that everything was signed correctly, we've met all of our prior to funding conditions, we're ready to close and fund that loan. And that's when we hit the button and send the wire out. And then the escrow company receives that wire. They go down to the county and record your deed of trust. So there are so many steps in a loan. And some people ask me, well, why does it take, 3-4 weeks to close? And it's because, like I said, there's 52 people in a transaction and we got to bring them all together and have them all do their parts. And a lot of times, Part B can't do their job till A's done, and C can't do their job till B's done. So it all kind of goes in order. But that's what we're here for, and we work with a lot of home buyers and walk them through this process, and our goal is to always close on time. And so if you want to see how this process would look for you, let me know. But like Lance said, really important to come in, talk about your options, get pre-approved, so you have that letter in hand when you're ready to go write an offer.
Tom, that's great information, and that is absolutely fantastic. And in fact, before you came here, a lot of times people say, well, how's there 50 people involved and how does that happen? Well, right before I came, to the show, I was reviewing a file and we were negotiating on a HVAC repair. So, we had a buyer involved, we had a seller involved, then we had the HVAC technician involved, and then we're looking through invoices about compressors and capacitors and inducer motors. I mean, and so you think like, wait a minute, I thought you bought and sold real estate, but then as a part of that, oh my gosh, you've got to negotiate and know about all of this with the HVAC and know what the guy's talking about, make sure your buyer understands, make sure your seller understands. Mm-hmm. We had 5 or 6 people in that one spot, and that had nothing to do with buying or selling that house, but at the same time, it had everything to do with it, because this was an issue. If we don't get over and pass that hurdle, then that deal's probably not going to go together.
Well, that's why people, it's important to work with experienced professionals that live this business. And I mean, you can't stress that enough. There's just so many moving parts to get a transaction closed and to get a house into your name. That's why you work with the Kenmore team and I.
Tom, thanks for that information. We're coming up on our first hard break. When we come back, we're going to go back into that process. We've got that pre-approval letter now. They're back with us at the agency. We're going through and starting that process to find the perfect home. A couple tricks and tips that will help buyers get into the home they want when we come back from the break.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been talking about some buyer strategies to be prepared to buy. There's a lot of buyers out there in the market right now that are looking, but we've been struggling with a lower inventory market. And so, you know, we just wanted to do a quick show on a couple things to not get discouraged by that process. There is new inventory that's still coming on the market. And a lot of times it just comes down to, as a buyer, being as well prepared as you can be to make that purchase. So a couple of the things we had heard last week was, gosh, I didn't expect to find the house that I wanted this quickly, so I wasn't ready to make the offer. I hadn't gotten that documentation back to Tom that we needed. Another, you know, thing I had heard this last week was, if I would have known that house was going to go under contract, you know, then I would have put an offer in sooner rather than thinking about it for two nights. So, you know, we had four or five examples where we're like, okay, let's just remind the buyers out there a little bit about that process, what they need to do to be prepared. And, you know, we talked about why are you buying? First of all, being very clear about why you're purchasing and what goals you're trying to accomplish, followed up by the fact of then getting with someone like Tom, who's an expert at the lending side of things, to get pre-approved, have your tax return submitted, have any problems flushed out and fixed so that you can make that offer with confidence. And then we go on to the next point of three, really just understanding the current market that we're in. And a lot of times that is a little bit difficult. You need to spend some time educating yourself about the market with your agent so that you know what to expect. And that's where a lot of times I think a little bit of a breakdown can happen. So if you go to our buyer website, thekenmoreteam.com, you can register on that site. You can put in an area that you're looking for homes. And then you can start to get alerts and emails about those homes. What that does is that starts the education process, because then you'll see homes you like, you'll see homes you don't like, and then you'll see if they sell right away or what price they sell for. Then what happens is, when you do see the perfect home, the home you've been waiting for, it gives you that sense of already feeling like you know the market. And so a lot of people say, well, gosh, I don't want to make a rush decision about a home I find. But in a low inventory market like we're in right now, you need to be prepared that it might be day one or two that that home is on the market that you'll need to make a decision. I mean, we had one last week that had four offers on it. Two were cash and two were conventional in day one. Well, it's really hard for those conventional offers to even be competitive, much less if we were talking about day three or four. So that is a big step, is understanding the market that you're looking in and then getting with an agent that knows that so that they can help you make a competitive offer. The fourth thing that I really had down in that process was being prepared with what offer you're going to make. making sure that you have looked at those comparables and that you are making a competitive offer that you're comfortable with. And I think a lot of that comfortability goes back to knowing from Tom's pre-approval and talking to him what your payments are, what your down payment is. And so if you have that in mind and know exactly what you're dealing with, it makes it a lot easier to make that offer. The fifth thing that I had down there that I had put down was making sure that your offer is competitive. There's a lot of standards in the industry, and you'll ask the real estate agent that you're working with. You'll go to them and say, what is going to make my offer competitive? What are other buyers likely to be offering? And how can I stack up against those other offers? Because if you found that perfect home and it's day one or two, you can likely guarantee in certain price ranges right now that you're going to be in multiple offers. So if you go to your agent, they'll know what our local customs are, because you might have an idea in your mind, but this might only be the first offer you've written in 7 or 8 years, or it might be the first offer you have ever written, and you might have moved here from another state. And so what that does is, by going to your agent and saying, what's customary, what do you think the seller's going to be expecting, and then using that advice from your agent, that helps you craft a really, really competitive offer. Because if you think that you've heard from a buddy that earnest money doesn't matter, it's not even really enforceable, and so you can just put $100 earnest money down and you'll be just fine because it doesn't matter. Now, fast forward to a presentation with the listing agent and the seller, and they have six offers. And of the six offers on the $200,000 house, five of them have $2,000 of earnest money, and the sixth one has $100. And in your mind, it doesn't matter. In the seller's mind, it might matter a lot if they're looking at that. So really leaning on your real estate professional, on your realtor that you're working with, to make sure that your offer is customary. And if you're trying to be competitive, how can I make it better than customary without increasing my risk? There's some strategies that your buyer's agent and yourself can work on that says, how could I make my offer look better than the rest that they're looking at and not increase my risk by very much at all? Well, if you get with us and ask us those questions, we can give you some great, great strategies for working to make that happen. Because it is super competitive right now, and so part of that process is a little bit scary. After that, and we go through that negotiation process, the next big thing that comes along is getting that home inspection done as fast as you possibly can. That's going to be your, you know, really your number two priority once you go under contract, because you never know what's going to come up. Just like I was giving that example earlier with HVAC and stuff we were looking at, is you're really not going to know if you have a deal until you get through that inspection period. So,
Lance, I'm really glad you brought this up, because I always ask clients before we start their loan, have you got your inspection done? The main reason I'm concerned about it is, am I ready to order the appraisal or not? And we're seeing appraisal turn times kind of back up right now. I just had a VA transaction. It was like 3.5 weeks to get the appraisal back.
Wow.
So if I get a contract and I have 4 weeks to close it, and the VA appraisal takes 3.5 weeks, and I have to wait until the inspection done, which maybe took a week after they went under contract, you do the math, we're not closing on time. So the sooner you get the inspection done, the sooner we can order the appraisal and start that process.
Absolutely. And on your side, so for the listeners that don't do it every day that know, is you don't really want to order that appraisal until you know you've got a deal, because once you hit order on that button, you're basically, that's going to cost your client $500-$600.
Yeah, let's say you get an inspection and that costs you $300-$400, and you find something that is really wrong with the house, and you say, you know what, this isn't the house for me. I also don't want you to have to pay for the appraisal. So we try to limit the amount of exposure you have to these unnecessary expenses. So ordering that inspection as fast as you can, very important.
Fantastic. Well, Tom, as we get close to wrapping up here, I definitely want to get in my pick three for properties. We have put on some amazing new inventory in the market that fits right in this area that we've been talking about great, great value for the buyers out there. Pick number one this week I had is over in West Richland. This is just one of those fantastic West Richland Ramblers, 4821 Daisy Street. This is a three-bedroom, two-bath Rambler with a bonus room, 1320 square feet. You've got the living room open to the dining room, huge bonus room off of the dining room. Master suite has a three-quarter bath. You've got a pergola and a covered patio, fully fenced backyard. And that's coming in West Richland at $162,500. I mean, that's just one of these deals where it's like not going to be on the market very long. Pick number two that I've got, this is a great, great, fantastic larger home in Pasco, 5518 Pimlico. Now, this is a three-bedroom, three-bath home with great, great views. Sits up on the bluff, has amazing views of Pasco, 3,750 square feet. You got hardwood floors on the main level, open floor plan. You've got a big, bright dining area that opens up to the living room. You've got a 160-inch movie screen with projector.
Wow. Wow.
Absolutely fantastic. You've also got your den and office on the main level, huge master suite with a walk-in closet, private bath, granite counters, totally dialed in. You've got an unfinished basement ready to make it whatever you want to finish off with your own ideas. And you've got the fully fenced backyard, covered patio. And that's coming in that big of a house. I mean, just under 4,000 square feet, 325. So great, great value there in West Pasco.
You got to imagine that media room's at least 10.
Oh, it's absolutely wow. Fantastic. Pick number three. Now this is just a great townhouse. I'm super excited about this brand new listing. Three bedroom, three bath townhouse out in Mediterranean Villas off of Road 100 out there. You've got open floor plan. You've got a spacious great room with the corner fireplace, kitchen with tons of tile, breakfast bar. You've got the private master suite and walk-in closet. And then you've got just amazing, amazing upgrades. It's got the slider off the great room to a private patio. The HOA dues include the yard maintenance. So that's coming in there at $160,000. I mean, $160,000 for that in West Pasco. Great value. That's another one. Wow. If you were interested, I would suggest going to KenmoreTeam.com, requesting a showing for this weekend, because that's that price range that is just moving very quickly, and we're getting a lot of showings on right now. So,
you know, Lance, I got something I want to add. It's kind of a special day today. My grandparents are having their 70th wedding anniversary.
70th?
Yeah. Pretty incredible.
So congratulations.
We got a lot
to
of
them.
Family coming in town, and they're probably flipping through the stations and hearing this. So congrats to Jim and Opal Coin. Very, very happy for you guys and excited to celebrate today.
Man, congratulations from the Kenmore team also. That is a very, cool. very special thing. Yeah. Well, we're pretty much wrapping up here, Tom. We're going to let you get out to that celebration for the 70th wedding anniversary. If you have any real estate questions, go to KenmoreTeam.com, shoot us an email, and we'd love to take care of you this weekend and enjoy the rest of the Parade of Homes today and tomorrow.
And we'll be back next week right here on News Talk 870.